Our Old Testament reading, as we continue the story of Joshua, is in Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 and following. We're going to read through verse 5 right now. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with his king and his fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in the front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people go up, every man straight in." May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning, as we continue the story of Joshua and victorious living, I want to think about faith-to-face giants. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this little boy who was playing in his front yard, and a man came along and seemed somewhat frustrated. And so the boy asked him what was wrong, and he said, "Well, son, I'm lost. Can you tell me how to get to the post office?" And the little boy said, "Sure, just go down to the stop sign and turn left and go down a little ways, and it's on your right." And the man thanked him and said, "Well, by the way, I'm the new pastor in town. Why don't you come to church Sunday, and I'll tell you how to get to heaven?" The little boy said, "No thanks, you don't even know how to get to the post office." Well, you know, Joshua faced some leadership challenges this morning. After all, he was taking the place of Moses, and he had to lead the people not only across the Jordan River, that was really the easy part, he had to lead the people against the Battle of Jericho and the people that seemed like giants to them. And often you and I face some giants. And so when you think about this morning and kind of the giants in our life, we don't know whether these folks were literally giants. There's evidence, some archaeological evidence, that were people that were 6.5 to 7 feet tall, which doesn't seem that tall to us now that we like 7-footers on our basketball team, but the average height of a man at that time was 5'2" tall. So to face someone that was more than a foot tall was indeed a challenge. But moreover, Jericho was a walled city. In fact, it was believed to be a 3-tiered wall. Archers could shoot down from the top of the walls. They could also throw rocks, boulders down on people. And even worse, they were known to pour burning oil down on people who tried to scale the walls. And that was surely a deterrent for most people. And so these people seemed like giants. They seemed like an enemy that was insurmountable to them. And it's interesting that, and I think it's important, that the people first worshiped God. They consecrated themselves, they renewed the covenant, they worshiped with the Passover, and then only then did Joshua find an angel to lead them. When Joshua said, "Are you for us or against us?" the angel said, "Neither, but as commander of the Lord's armies I come." Reminding us that it's not about God being on our side, but us being on God's side, and I think that's important. And again, it said, now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. And Joshua said, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with his king and his fighting man. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have the 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them shout a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people shout a loud shout. And then go straight in. The city has been given to you." And you think for a moment, I mean, what was going through Joshua's mind right then? I mean, Joshua's probably wandering out in the night having a word of prayer, expecting something bigger and better for a battle plan against a city like this. And the plan is to march around the city for 6 days in silence. And on the 7th day, to march around 7 times with the priest blowing the horn, and then everyone's supposed to shout a loud shout, and the city's just going to collapse, and you're going to go in and take it, right? I mean, that takes a real step of faith, and you think, well, if it happens that way, it's great, but now he's got to go and explain that plan to the people of God. Can you only imagine what that seems like? And I think sometimes when we hear God's plan of faith and we feel the tug of our hearts, we think that just can't possibly be the way that God is going to move. But you pick up the story in verse 6, and it says this. So Joshua, son of Nun, he wasn't, by the way, the son of a nun, and he wasn't the son of no one. He was just the son of a man named Nun. So son of Nun called the priest and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward blowing the trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day till I tell you to shout. Then shout." So the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. And you can only imagine what the people said that night. This is Joshua's plan. This is God's plan. I mean, we followed Moses for 40 years, and now what we're going to do is to walk around the city with the Ark of the Covenant in silence for 6 days. And you had to feel that building, and maybe God was strengthening their faith. Maybe some people shared some faith, but there had to be some doubters in the crowd. It continues. So Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord." And when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so every man went straight in, and they took the city. And so they took the city, sparing only Rahab, and the city was not plundered. Now, it's an amazing story because God works in ways that we often don't think that God is going to work. It's interesting that in archaeology, there is some evidence. The site is debated, at least some, but there was archaeological remnants of what they thought was the city of Jericho, found in the early 20th century, in the early 1900s. And it was interesting because many of the details matched. Then later on, a man by Garstang found it. And there's a large mound near where's Jericho today, and it's called Tel Es Sultan. This is an artist rendition. It was a tiered wall, and there's a remnant wall, which is a wall that you build walls on top of. And you can see from that man how big it is. And it's interesting because some of the archaeological evidence found that there were actually jars of grain that were burned with the grain inside, which means the siege was not long, and it was long after harvest. That's one of the jars of grain that's broken, and it's over 3,000 years old. Now, there was Garstang decided to enlist the help of an up-and-coming archaeologist by the name of Kathleen Kenyon, who's a very famous archaeologist. She gained fame from this, and she found corroboration for most of the details, but she found that some of the pottery that was from wealthy people that she would expect to find around that time era wasn't there, and she passed away actually before her foundings were published in 1978, and so they were published, but they were incomplete. But later people find out that the reason she didn't date it at the time of what normally would have been thought of the time of the destruction of Jericho was this missing part of pottery. But they've later found with more recent excavation that that was a poorer section of the city, and so they wouldn't expect to find fine imported pottery. So the debate goes on, but there's some interesting things that do sort of coincide. And first of all, the city was strongly fortified, as you can see from just the archaeological remains that are there today, with tiers of walls on it. We know that the attack occurred at harvest time in the spring. We see containers of grain. In fact, thousands of containers of grain, as it happens to be. We know that the inhabitants didn't have an opportunity to flee. And we know that the walls were leveled. And we don't know whether it was an earthquake, but it could easily have been something like an earthquake. And we know that the walls collapsed before the city was burned, which is very interesting. We also know that the city was not plundered, which was very unusual for that day. So some of those things, certainly, and we know that it was completely burned as well because of the layer of destruction. Now, also know that there was a group of people that were fierce and warlike from the area of Canaan that went down and actually took control of Egypt quite a bit before this. So we don't know if this was the group or not, but to beat Egypt at this time, Egypt was the superpower of the world, and so they withdrew for whatever reason. So anyway, there's some interesting things to think about. We don't know if it's exactly the case, but more importantly, how does all this apply to our own lives of faith? And I think there's some great lessons of faith in all of this, whatever the archaeological evidence is, and that is, first of all, that I think that God works in our life through faith, first of all, by the fact that we grow in faith gradually oftentimes. Step by step, we grow in faith. And if you think about it for a moment, when God was leading the children of Israel, first of all, they had to wander the, the wilderness for 40 years. They had to trust God daily for manna and quail. They had to learn to rest on the seventh day and to see in God's provisions. And maybe during that time, their parents were sort of instilling faith, even though they had failed the first time when it came time to go into the promised land. But still, they could instill in them the faith that God had divided the Red Sea, they could go through, and that God had delivered them from Egypt. And so each day, they were celebrating the Passover once a year, and they were having that story into their life. And step by step, they grew. And then this new generation had learned to trust God for the manna and the quail. Then they learned to trust God as they crossed over the Jordan River. And they learned to trust God as they celebrated and looked at those 12 rocks. And finally, they had the strength to go before God in this battle plan, which just didn't seem like a battle plan. And I think oftentimes it's that way in our lives too, that God sort of stretches us in faith. Have you noticed that? That sometimes we have little things and you think, well, that's insignificant. That just seems too small for God to be about that. But I think sometimes we face small challenges in life because God is stretching us and building our strength and faith so that when the big challenges come, we'll be able to face those. And maybe it's sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but oftentimes the New Year's resolution is to have a little bit more physical fitness. And you may have noticed when you go back into the gym and you haven't exercised for a while that the weights have gotten heavier. Have you noticed that? But if you sort of persevere and you lift those weights and you keep going back in, then you get stronger step by step because your muscles are building all the time. Or maybe you go running and then you run a few miles and it seems like a few miles is just a lot longer than it used to be. But as you run those few miles, then you find that you're strengthened day by day. And I think that's the way that God works in our life. In fact, what do we talk about when we talk about faith? We talk about taking a step of faith, and step by step we grow, and we talk about exercising faith like it's exercising a muscle. And so I think God helps us to grow in faith step by step, just like Joshua and the people of Israel were being built step by step along the way of life. And I like to believe too that these people, these parents that were in the wilderness for 40 years, that it wasn't just about failing the first time when they didn't have the faith to go over the Jordan River and to face the giants of the land. I'd like to believe that during those 40 years, they were instilling their dreams into these people and saying, listen, we didn't make it into the promised land, but we made it out of Egypt. We want you to go into the promised land. We want to instill our dream in you. And that was building the faith. And I think the question comes to us is, are we instilling our faith into our children and our children's children? Are we building them up to pursue dreams that they want? So I think that God helps us to grow in faith step by step. And the second thing is, I think that God's plan and God's purposes often aren't like ours. I mean, if you think about Joshua in this moment, and he's waiting for some miracle, some word from the Lord, and sure, he sees an angel, but the plan has to be completely different than what Joshua thought the plan would be. I mean, Joshua was probably thinking of some great military move that would give them the edge in this battle that seemed completely outweighed, but to march around the city in silence for 6 days and the seventh day to march around seven times and then to give a shout of praise and go in, it just didn't seem like it matched up to a battle plan. And so I think in our lives, God's plan is not like ours so often, and God's timing is completely different than ours. And the first day when they had to march around and there was just silence, they had to think, well, are we going to go in or are we just going to march around? Are we waiting in silence or are we going to go forward? And sometimes I think it's like Psalm 46, be still and know that I am the Lord. Be still and know that I am the Lord. There's a time for silence and stillness, and there's a time for battle. There's a time to listen for God and listen to our hearts, and there's a time to go forward. And you and I, as we go through life and our faith is built step by step, we learn to get in sync with God's plan, not get God in sync with our plan. We need to learn to know when it's time to lean into the silence and to listen to the still small voice of God, and when it's time to go forward in battle and to face the giants that are in our land. And it's something we need to teach our children and our children's children. Listen to this from Proverbs 3, verse 5 and following, and I love this verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. It's so hard to do that, isn't it? I mean, it's so easy to talk about, me too. It's so easy to talk about, but when it comes time and you really need to trust God, and there's a financial crisis, there's a relationship crisis, there's an illness in the family, and we lose a loved one, and everything just seems to be in dark, then it's hard to lean into the strength of God. But sometimes God, I think, puts us in a place where all we can do is lean into God's strength so that we know what faith is about and we know what God's strength is about. And I think that's the thing that was going on with Joshua and the people of God, because the battle plan was going to be different in the days to come. But right then, they need to learn to trust God and to lean in God's strength and God's timing. And then the third thing is to just trust God. Trust God. It just seems so hard, isn't it? And you think about the giants, and we don't know everything about these people, but we had to know that these fortified walls were an incredible obstacle for this people. So we don't know how tall the people are, but the fact is the walls were tall, and they weren't even one level of walls. We think they were two or three levels of wall. Now, it's almost impossible, and these were not seasoned warriors, the Israelites. But in a sense, God was telling them, listen, worship, don't worry. You know what I'm saying? You know, celebrate the Passover. The first thing that the angel tells Joshua is to take off his feet, that he's on holy ground. And then they're supposed to praise God by putting the ark first. And the ark, of course, contained the Ten Commandments, which is very important. And then they give a shout of praise and victory before anything happened. And I think many times in life, that's what we have to do. It wouldn't be trust. It wouldn't be trust if we knew what was going to happen first. If we waited until something happened before we worshiped. God asks us to worship first and to praise Him first, and sometimes to walk in darkness as God leads us step by step through all of life. You think of Gideon and his obstacle, and there was a moment in his life where he just seemed like the armies that were before him were greater than the armies that were around him in Judges. And then at one moment, God opened his eyes, and all of a sudden he saw that the valley was full of the army of the Lord, just like Joshua saw the commander of the Lord's army. And you and I most often don't see an angel. Not an angel that looks like an angel. Maybe we see an angel and it looks like a person. Maybe we see a person that acts like an angel. But so often, you and I, our eyes are just sort of blinded to what's really going on. But the reality is that God is at work all around us. And sometimes we only see it afterwards. But if we trust God, if we sort of exercise our faith and we grow step by step, then and we worship rather than worry, then suddenly we feel that our faith is strengthened. Suddenly we see that God will walk us through each and every valley. Jesus said this again in Matthew 17:20 as he was talking to the disciples, and they were struggling with their doubt and their faith and their failure, and they didn't know what to do and how to strengthen their faith. Jesus said this, because you have so little faith, but I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And it boils down to, it's not how able we are, but how able God is. And that's what trust is all about. And so this morning, we may not be in the same place as Joshua and the people of Israel, but I think we can see in this lesson some truths of faith that are powerful for us. We can realize that God, through all the tests and trials and adversity and challenges of life, is helping us to grow step by step in faith. And sometimes those little challenges are helping us to build our strength, the stronger challenges that will come down the way. And then we can realize that God's plan and God's timing often are not our plan and our timing. We have to be patient. We need to know when to be still and silent and listen to the still small voice of God, and then when to move forward in battle, trusting that God is there. And finally, trust God. Let God be God. Do your best and let God do the rest. And it's easy to say that, but I know it's hard to do. But if we do that, we can grow step by step. Max Lucado wrote something that I really like. He said this, when you are neediest, he is most sufficient. When you are completely helpless, he is most helpful. When you feel totally dependent, he is totally dependable. When you are weakest, he is most able. When you're most alone, he is ultimately present. When you feel you are least, he is the greatest. When you feel the most useless, he is preparing you. When it is the darkest, he is the light you need. When you feel the least secure, he is the rock and the fortress. When you're the most humble, he is most gracious. And when you can't, he can. Amen. It says this in Ephesians 3:20 and 21, as Paul speaks to a church undergoing battle and difficulty, Paul writes, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be all glory. He that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I challenge us today to grow in our faith, to realize whatever battles we face, whatever giants we face, that God is present with us, and that God has a plan and purpose in that, and God is building our faith. And if we trust God and lean into his strength, he will be faithful. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, like Joshua and the people of Israel, sometimes we face battles that seem so much bigger than us. We may not face warriors and walls, but we face trial and tribulation, things that just seem like giants to us. And so, Lord, help us to lean into your strength and grace. Help us to know when to be still and silent and allow you to strengthen our inner spirit and to listen to your still small voice. That help us to have the faith to go forward and face the challenges and difficulties just like Joshua and the people, trusting that you will be God, that you are greater than any obstacle we will ever face. And so this day, strengthen us as individuals, as families, and as a family of faith, that we can do great things for you. We can trust you with whatever challenge or adversity we face. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.